So I was thinking about it, and like typically it seems like I was kind of like looking back through some of my past sermons, and I kind of caught this theme as I normally say how excited I am about this message. And I'm like, man, I think God's going to do amazing things today, and he's up to all kinds of cool stuff if we allow him to speak through us. And I just wanted to be upfront and honest with you today is, like, I've been struggling. I struggled with this message this week, and I've just been struggling personally and spiritually. And not saying that to, like, get anybody to feel sorry for me or anything, but I just wanted to be real with you. Share it because, like, I've just been struggling. And I think that that's okay because we all have struggles. We all have those seasons where you begin to get in a low and you just, like, are struggling. And that's kind of where I was and where I've been. And as I've been reading and praying over this scripture this week, I started to see these tests. A test of where we should be. What are we doing? What am I doing? What is the church doing? And as a this passage of scripture that we're in today, Paul is kind of talking about the church and some of the issues that are going on in the church, but I believe it, he's also speaking to us as individuals, as spiritual leaders. And as I started to think about it and really began to pray about this message and to read and just kind of meditate on the word, I kind of can start looking back and seeing where I began this spiritual slump. I got frustrated. Things aren't going the way that we wanted. Things are, you know, tough sometimes, and stopped reading my Bible like I should. I stopped praying like I should. And I was like, wow, no wonder why I feel like I'm in a spiritual slump. Because I haven't been doing the things that I know I'm supposed to be doing. So with that being said, I want to say I am excited about this message because it has already spoke to me. And this message was for me, and I pray that if you guys get something out of it, amen. Because there is so much that God can do with us and through us and for us if we allow him to work. And a lot of times we get in these slumps, and it's hard for us to allow him to reveal himself to us. If we're not in the word, if we're not praying, if we're not seeking him, then how do we ever expect to be able to grow in our faith? How do we ever expect to be challenged in our faith? And when challenging times come up, how are we ever going to be able to persevere in our faith? So I think that these tests that we have to take and these things that we have to go through sometimes can either make us or break us and show us who we are. So today I want us to take a test. I want us to look at some of these things that Paul is calling out the church in Corinth and apply it to our hearts and apply it to our lives. From time to time we have to just stop and reflect. Where are we? Where are we going? Where have we been? Where do we want to go? So I pray today that we take that time and we start to reflect. As individuals, as a body of believers, the church, what does the road church look like as individually, individual people, as a body? there's a lot that has been going on within the church. And sometimes it's easy to see how things start getting sidetracked and things start getting turned and people's hearts get changed and people, and this is those times in our lives where we have to stop and say, hey, what is going on? What am I doing? Where is my heart? And we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians and we've been getting this picture that Paul has been painting this picture throughout the book, and it's, he's writing it to the church in Corinth, and there's this overlying theme that seems to run throughout the whole book. And I want you to catch this. It's this, that the church comes together. When he's addressing the issues, he's addressing it for the church, the body of Christ, to come together. There were some that were more knowledgeable and some that are stronger in influence and more powerful in the church, and they were causing issues. And Paul was writing to the church, and he sees them coming together. He wants to see them come together, get all on the same page for this one reason: the advancement of the gospel. That's what he wants the church to do, to come together for the advancement of the gospel in your life, in my life, and in others' lives. So as we get ready to dive into the scripture today, I want us to think about that. The advancement of the gospel. Where's the gospel in our hearts? Is it growing deeper and advancing us and changing us? Is it changing our community? Is it changing our world? Because that's what Paul's calling out to, is he's calling us, the body of Christ, to advance the gospel, to come together as a group of believers that love the Lord, that can grow together and have this bond, so that when we go out to the world, we can share God's love with the lost and with the broken. So let's dig into this passage and begin to unpack some of these questions on this test I have for you. And here's the thing, is it's not a test that I'm going to give you. You're the test giver, the taker, the grader, and all that stuff. But I would ask you this. Be honest with yourself. When I ask some questions, be honest. And sometimes it's hard to say, man, I'm lacking in this area, or I need to step up in this area. We're in 1 Corinthians 4. And it reads this. It says, this is how we should regard us, as servants of Christ, of stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you and by any human of court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before this time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purpose of the heart. Then each one will receive his condemnation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefits, brothers, that you may learn from us not to go beyond what is written, that none of us may be puffed up in favor of one another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that is
What do you have that you did not receive? If you received it, they do, or why do you boast as if you did not receive it?
Check this verse out. I highlighted it and like in my Bible's like just circled it. And already, you have all you wanted. Already, you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And would that you did reign so that you might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us, apostles, as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we are in dispute. To the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When revealed, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slanders, we retreat. When we become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For you have countless guides in Christ. You do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved, the faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not to walk. I will find out not to talk to those arrogant people, but their power. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do we wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness? Man, there's a lot in that verse, in that chapter. And as Paul is addressing the leaders in the church, we can look through this passage and we begin to see these spiritual leaders and what they should look like. Here in the Western world, sometimes we look up to like pastors and authors and people like that, and people that are wrote books, and we begin to hold these people up to be great spiritual leaders. But just because you speak on a tour, you write a book, or you do great things, you change a church or whatever it is, that doesn't necessarily meet the indications of a great spiritual leader. Sometimes we put our hope and our faith in these people and they tend to let us down. And there's these indicators that God, or Paul is sharing of what a godly servant looks like. And I'm not just bashing those people, because a lot of those people do great things. But I want us to make sure that we are focusing on what is going to make change in our hearts. We can read tons of self-help books. We can seek out the best, latest, greatest diets and all this stuff. But we typically forget to go to the Bible first. And Paul is saying that. Paul is giving this indicator of, hey, I come before you. I am teaching you. These are the things I teach. Follow me. So why is it sometimes we tend to follow others before we follow the word? Here's another thing. When you start talking about spiritual leaders, you tend to think about those people. You think about the pastors, the elders, the people that lead the Sunday school classes and that kind of thing. But let me tell you this. I believe with my whole heart that if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're a spiritual leader. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, uncles, teachers, employees, employers, whoever you are a spiritual leader. And you're called to be a spiritual leader. And we're called to be ambassadors of Christ. So this list of things that Paul is sharing to the church isn't just to the spiritual leaders in the church. I believe it's to the church in general, which is the body, which is us. And there's an importance that we see that. We see that we are spiritual leaders. Because a lot of times we tend to push that stuff off on our responsibilities off on to people that are leaders. Oh, they will take care of that. They got this. You're the spiritual leader. You're a spiritual leader. So, test time. Question one. How do people regard you? How do people regard us? The answer should be this. It should be as a servant. As someone who is willing to serve, share the things that God has revealed to them through the reading of Scripture and praying to others. Think about that. How do people regard you? You start thinking about that. What is that persona that you put out to people around you? Do they look to you and think, man, that person is a godly person? Do they think, man, I can go to that person for spiritual advice? I can go to that person in confidence and know that if I share a prayer request, the person is going to be praying for you. Sometimes I think we just get regarded as church people. What do church people look like? People that come to church on Sundays? I don't know. But to the outside world, how do people regard you? Then the next question is, how do people regard you within the church? How do people see you as a spiritual person within the body of Christ? Question two. Paul starts talking about in verse 1, he says, the question is what is the mysteries that Paul is talking about in verse 1? He says, as a servant of Christ, a steward of the mystery of God. What does that mean? The mysteries of God. He uses it, one, in the plural, so it has multiple meanings, which is the gospel, right? But he reveals other truths to those of us who are Christians through the reading of Scripture. When you read Scripture and you begin to read it and you begin to see new things pop out on the page, it's not because the pages, the words changed. It's because God is opening your heart and allowing and revealing to you new things, growing you in new things. Have you ever thought of like, my grandma's like in her 80s and she reads the Bible all the time. And I'm like, how can somebody read the Bible all the time like that and continue to grow? She's been a Christian for years and years and years. Doesn't she? I mean, that's just my mind sometimes, because you're just like, how many times can you read one book? But I'm telling you, every time you read the book, you begin to learn more. You grow deeper. So these mystery things, it's a mystery because God works in mysterious ways. So do you know the mystery? Do you know the gospel that Paul is talking about? And are you willing and able to share that with others? And it kind of goes back to that regard thing. Is if you know the mystery and the gospel, and you're living it out, those that are around you will regard you as a Christian, as one of Christ. Question three, he talks about, are you trustworthy? As Christians, are we trustworthy? As a church, are we trustworthy? It frustrates me sometimes when you see posts on social media about how churches misuse money, or there's all these, you know, people on the outside world does not understand the way that a church operates and the things that take place within a church. And their regard is they see it by because what people have told them. They don't know the truth. They've been misled. They don't have the right information. But they'll sit there and post things or share things, or you may have conversations with people and they're like, well, I can't trust a church because I said this to somebody and they went and blabbed to this person. Or I can't trust, you know, because they went and spent the money on this and I wanted them to spend the money on this. Or there's all these trust issues within a church or with that people have with the church, but they also have with individuals. And so are you trustworthy? As a Christian, we should be trustworthy. Our yeses should be yeses. Our noes should be noes. The things that we speak should be the truth. And everything that we speak should reflect the gospel. It's important character to be trusted. It reflects on you as an individual, and it reflects on the church as a body. Question number four, do you judge people? Verse 5, Paul tells us that he is not sure of anything against himself, but he also is not acquitted, but he should not judge, not be judged. Others, or he should not judge others. God is the one who gets the final judge, the final judgment. Started thinking about this week. It is so hard not to be judgmental. Because sometimes when you see stupid and you just want to say it's stupid, people will think you're judging them, but it's stupid. Sometimes when people are messing up and you come alongside them and you tell them, hey, sir, I'm sorry for what you're going through, but if you would just do this, well, you're judging me. Well, I see why your life is in a wreck. It's hard to come along somebody and say, help them and show them that they are sinners, and then they say, you're judging me. I'm not judging you. I'm sharing with you with what a sin is. How do you get through that, right? How do you overcome that? Well, I tell you this. This is how we become people that aren't judgmental. We live it out, and our life and our walk with Christ becomes, and people regard us for what we do and what we say. when we share something, we're sharing the truth with them. We're sharing it with love. Because if I'm out here doing one thing throughout the week, I come to church and then Monday morning I'm trying to share something with somebody else, and they know what I did throughout the week before, that's how you become judgmental. That's how you become that person that's saying, it's okay to do this, but don't follow me, follow Christ's example. I mess up. So do you judge people? Do you judge people by the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they act? I think we're all guilty of that. Sometimes it shows us and tells us how to come alongside people as well. So I think there's this fine line of, are we judging them, or are we just kind of understanding their character? But the judgment comes is when you can't let loose of what they're doing and allow Christ to work through you to share with them the mysteries, allowing God to work. Question 5. Are you learning from a brother? Paul says in verse 6, I applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us, not going beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against the other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are you learning? And what are you learning from? Are you learning from the outside world? Or are you leaning on somebody that you regard in the highest? Somebody that has that walk, that faith, that can come alongside you and to share. Are you learning from your past mistakes, or are you continuing to do the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results? We have to have that person in our life that comes alongside us and helps us. You can't just get all your learning spiritually on Sunday morning. Sorry. It's a week-long deal, and we should be learning Sunday through Sunday all the time. So if we're coming to church just on Sundays, and that's the only time that we're opening our Bible or we're praying, I would probably say, man, I'm probably not learning as much as I should. Those lessons in life that we learn. When you stop and you look back and you begin to say, wow, now I understand what's going on. Now I can begin to see why these things are taking place in my life. You start maturing in your faith. And as you begin to mature, people start regarding you, and guess what happens? You become a teacher. As a spiritual leader, you're teaching. See how this is all wrapping together? It's this big picture of what our lives should be looking like as Christians. Question 6. How do those around you see you? This is one of those verses that I just thought about this week. Verse 9, it says, for I think that God has exhibited us apostles
as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become spectacles to the world, to angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in dispute. Verse 11. To be presented, or to present to the present hour, we're hungry and thirst, and poorly dressed, and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our hands. When revealed, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we retreat. We have become and are still like the scums of the world, the refuse of all things. Start to read that. And sometimes I'm thinking, you start getting yourself puffed up, pumped up, and proud of what you've done. And you read a couple verses like that, and you begin to think, man, am I a spectacle to the world? Well, how do you become a spectacle to the world? You live radically different. And people start to begin to notice that there's something different about you. That's how you become a spectacle to the world. So how do they see you? How do people see you? How do the people in this community see the church? Are we radically different? Or are we a lot like them? Are we fools for Christ's sake? What's the most foolish thing you have done for Christ's sake? For the gospel, for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what's the most craziest, radicalist thing you have done? Are we to the point where we're weak because we're laboring for Christ? I mean, the list in this section of things of how people see us is, do they see you as willing to be homeless, to endure? And do you, when you're slandered, do you retreat, or do you bounce back? When you're persecuted, do you continue on, or do you just give up? Those are all things people see in us. And they should be giving us a gut check. Is how do people see us? Question 7. Who is your father? And who are you imitating? Paul tells us in the last verse of this chapter that if we are in Christ, he is our Father, and we should be imitators of him. We should be imitating Christ. We should be imitating the way that Paul was living his life. So do you know the Father? Do you know that gospel that we talked about earlier? The gospel of Jesus Christ? Who came to earth, lived a sinless life so that he could be our sacrifice. His blood would be able to cover our sins. He would be persecuted, judged. He would be sentenced to death, die on our account. But the greatest story is this. It's 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and he is alive today.
interceding for us who believe in him. That's who our Father should be. God, who has the strength, who has the ability to be able to do that, who calls us to do that. So wrapping up real quick. This morning I want us to do this evaluation. I hope you guys began to evaluate your hearts, your lives, your walk. Where do you see yourself? Because there's a lot going on. And everybody's lives have things going on. And what's important in your life may not be as important as it is in my life. And what's important is in my life may not be as important into your life. But I know this. It has to be important to you. Because that's that thing that's causing you to think the way that you think and do the things that you do. So as we began to grow and we began to see ourselves and we start putting ourselves second to others, others begin to be more important than us. We're able to put aside some of the things that we have to do or the things that mean a lot to us to be able to go and minister to others, to share with others, to love on others. And it comes back to that. How do people regard you? How do you regard yourself? Are you puffed up and too good? Or are you willing to go and share? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to step out in faith and say, God, here I am, use me? Even in our struggles and the tests that are going on in our lives, we can grow. And I pray today that we leave here convicted, God showing us, pricking us, stirring our hearts to get right. To do the things that God has called us to do. To live the way that God wants us to live. As individuals, but also as a church. Because if we begin to have a bunch of different issues individually, and they start creeping into the church, it begins to affect the church. And it affects those that are around us. And then, see how it works? We have to be responsible as individuals. So it's not just the spiritual leaders that are in spiritual or in leadership positions in the church. It's us as spiritual leaders to be making sure that we are passing this test. Are we failing? I don't think so. I don't think any of us in here would say that we failed every question, unless you fell asleep and didn't listen. Is there a lot of work that we could be doing? Absolutely. And I'll be the first one to admit, I have a lot of work to do. And this week has been stinking good to Mike Foster. Sometimes it's hard to admit when you're wrong. It's hard to say, all right, I got to turn around and do different. I have to apologize or I have to go and do those things. Sometimes those are hard conversations to have. But sometimes you need that gut check to start passing through and reading those tests and seeing where you stand up. So today, the band's going to come up here in a second. We're going to have a time of prayer, invitation. And I would just ask, to be honest. Ask you to be honest with yourself. How did you do on the test? Are there areas in that test that you need to be praying for? You need people to pray for you? Are there areas in that test that you're just knocking it out of the ballpark and you need to go share it with others? I don't know what all is going on. I don't know that how you guys want to do it, but I would just encourage you to pray. Pray with your wives, your kids, your families. If you want to come forward and pray with me or John or Dave, I mean, I would beg us as a church to pray.